we get the hour underway by welcoming to the program, well, a music legend. He's a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame. He's charted over 27 pop hits, over 24 country hits on the Billboard charts. He's a 12-time Grammy Award nominee and a 2-time winner. We are so pleased to be joined this afternoon by Ray Stevens.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Appreciate you carving out a little time for us.
Well, glad to be able to speak with you.
Well, I so enjoy the brand new version of Everything is Beautiful, the 50th anniversary edition that you released just about a week ago. What prompted you to celebrate that and revise the song a little bit for the times we live in?
Well, it was a no-brainer, actually. It just occurred to me that it would be perfect for today's world. And so have you seen the video?
I have. I love the video.
Yeah, good. So it just fell into place real quick, and everything is looks like it's going to turn out really good.
And you got to go back and work again with the folks at Curb. What was that experience like?
Well, it's going to be good, I think. Curb is one of the few record companies, I think, that still know how to sell product. And I certainly hope so, anyway. But I've always been a friend of Mike Curb's. And so it's exciting, to be honest with you, to be back with Curb, and they seem excited, and we're going to move forward with a bunch of new product.
Well, that's very exciting indeed. Now, 50 years ago, when Everything is Beautiful was first released, a lot of turmoil in America in the midst of the Vietnam War, and it seemed like we'd never be able to pull things together. And, well, here we are all those years later in the country, pretty divided once again. How do we begin that process of reaching out and bringing this country back together?
Well, far be it from me to assume the responsibility to know. I wish I did. I would be happily pontificating, but I do not claim to have the answers. It's going to be a rough go here for a little while, it looks like. But maybe God will step in and help us.
Well, we can certainly use it here. Let's go back to the early part of your career. You grew up in Georgia. How did Bill Lowry change your life, Ray?
Well, he's one that said, write me some songs, and I did, and he liked them, and he got me a record deal, and I was 17 years old. So that sort of bells went off in my head, and I thought, well, this might be something that I could do for a long time, so... It sure has been a long time.
What did it feel like that first time you saw, I'll see if I can remember it off the top of my head, Jeremiah Peabody's polyunsaturated, quick-dissolving, fast-acting, pleasant-tasting green and purple pills make its way up the Billboard chart?
Yeah, well, it was exciting. Of course, that was in retrospect, I can say it was a small hit, but it was at the time, it was very exciting, and I, of course, followed that with Ahab the Arab, and it was a big hit. Like I say, those days were, because I was, very young, those days were very exciting.
You also did a lot of work as a session musician, a producer, arranger. You worked with everybody in the business, Elvis, Dolly Parton, Waylon Jennings. Matter of fact, we had Andy Kim on the show a few months ago, and he told us that you even came into the studio and helped out a little bit with some hand claps on the Archie's Sugar Sugar.
Yeah, anybody could have come in and done that, but I just happened to be there at the time, and somebody said, come in here and clap on this, and I did, and it turned out to be Sugar Sugar.
Now, of course, you had done the comedy records that were huge sellers, but you also began to write very serious songs as well. One of my favorites you ever did was Unwind, and then you followed that up with Mr. Businessman, and these were songs that were message songs to people.
These were songs that what?
They were messages. You were sending out a pretty serious message at a time when people needed it.
Yeah, Well, you know, I've always been a big fan of words, putting words together to have meaning that make people think and make people go, oh yeah, well, that's something that I've always tried to do.
We're talking with Ray Stevens here on Downtown. How did you get together with Andy Williams and end up signing with Barnaby Records?
Roger Miller was a friend of mine, and he was managed by a guy named Don Williams, Andy's brother. And Roger said, Don, you ought to manage Ray Stevens. And so Don called me and said, do you want a manager? And I said, I don't know. He said, well, I'll be in Nashville. He lived in Los Angeles. He said, I'll be in Nashville next week. Let's have lunch. And so we did, and I signed with him as my manager, and I was with him for 25, 30 years.
And, of course, that led to a recording, Everything is Beautiful, which became a worldwide smash, Grammy Award winner, a multiple million seller. We had your daughter, Susie, on the program a few weeks back, and she told us she was part of that chorus on the song.
Yeah, we took a portable tape recorder to her grammar school and got the class out of the classroom to the auditorium or where we gathered. It could have been the lunchroom. And we turned on the tape recorder, a little Wallensack, I think, or something like that, and recorded them, the whole class singing Jesus Loves the Little Children, and put that on the front of Everything is Beautiful, and it just set it up perfectly. And my other daughter, Timmy, also went to that same school, and we got her. She was a couple of grades ahead of Susie, but we got her in there, too, so I could have both my daughters singing on the record. So it worked out well.
Yeah, it sure did. Now, could you have possibly imagined at the time that The Streak was going to become the huge phenomenon that it was? And
yeah,
I mean the song, not the streaking, of course.
Yeah, well, heard about streaking. I read an article in Newsweek magazine about a college student in California who took off his clothes and ran through a crowd, and they called it streaking. And I said, well, now, if this catches on, this will be a great song. So I was on an airplane when I read the article, and I got home, and I immediately started writing my song. And I went in the studio so fast, I was still putting the finishing touches on the song as we were recording it. And when I heard the first playback, I thought, well, yeah, this is going to be a monster. And we cut, back in those days, you cut acetates and sent them to radio stations. And we sent it to the local pop station here in Nashville. And they played it, and the phones lit up, and they called me back and said, this is a monster. And I said, thank you very much. And sure enough, it sold like 5 million records or something like that.
When I was just a young guy, I was working at a country station, and Tuesday record day arrived, a brand new song from Ray Stevens that absolutely blew me away. It became your biggest hit on the country charts. What a fantastic arrangement you did of Errol Garner's Misty.
Oh yeah, that was fun. That was an accident. I was rehearsing in the studio with my road band for a TV show that we were going to shoot the next day. And during a break in that rehearsal, we started clowning around with Misty just for fun. And because, you know, as you know, up until that point, the biggest record was Johnny Mathis with strings and everything. And it was really beautiful. And we were doing it with a banjo and a fiddle and a steel guitar. It started sounding so good. I called the engineer in. He wasn't there because it was just a rehearsal. And I said, let's record this. And we did. We recorded it actually in two takes. And it came out and won a Grammy that year for the best arrangement of the year.
You went on to Warner Brothers and had great success with them. Need Your Help, Barry Manilow, Be Your Own Best Friend. And a song that I thought at the time was going to be a big hit. And I'm still surprised that it wasn't bigger, but I loved it. Get Crazy With Me.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I thought that, you know, the synthesizers were relatively new at that time. And I had just bought one, and I was playing around with it, and I came up with this sound that, blah, 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 really weird sound. And I put it, I said, that's a crazy sound. And I wrote a song called Get Crazy With Me and put it that sound on the record. And I was very proud of that record. I thought it was going to do a whole lot more than it did, but that's showbiz.
Yeah, well, it sure is. Now, you were out in front of a lot of people when it came to producing videos as well, and that has been incredibly success for you and gives your fans a whole new way to enjoy your music.
Yeah, you know, videos are now the norm, but back in the beginning, record companies didn't even consider them that important other than to promote the audio product. And so I made this long-form video. I asked the record company, would they pay for it? And they said, no, we can't spend that kind of money on promotion, you know. So I dug into my pocket, and I paid for the video. So I owned the videos. There were eight of them, and we put them in a package called Comedy Video Classics. And we sold it on TV with the 800 number. And that also at that time was a no-no. You know, you were washed up if you sold you had to resort to 800 number on TV to sell your records. Well, I wasn't washed up, and I didn't think I was. So I just said, well, to heck with that theory. And I put it on TV, and we sold 5 million of that video. And it turned out great.
You've also had a long and very fruitful association with the great folks at RFD-TV.
Yeah, yeah. They have shown my show on TV, my recent show on TV called Ray Stevens Cabaret Nashville. And they stopped showing it, but PBS has been showing it now for quite some time. So it's on PBS in a lot of markets. Here in Nashville, it's on Saturday nights at 6:30, and not all the PBS stations carry it, but you know, a lot of them do.
I know this is a project of yours that I loved, and it was work, I know, but it had to be a lot of fun for you to put together the amazing encyclopedia of recorded comedy.
That took a long time.
Well, I bet.
It was a labor of love, though. I was a big fan of all those old comedy songs, and I thought, well, you know, there's enough of them to create a big box set, and so I called it the Encyclopedia of Recorded Comedy Music, and there's like, I think, 100 songs in there, 102, 103 songs.
And I know you were out in Branson. You were one of the first to open up a theater there. These days, you've got the Cabaret Showroom, and that has been a wonderful thing for you and your fans. You've got an online store as well, and again, just another way to connect with those Ray Stevens fans.
Well, you know, the coronavirus has sort of put a temporary halt to being able to do shows at the Cabaret. The name of the club is the Cabaret, by the way, if you didn't already say that. But as soon as this vaccine hits, I think we'll be back in business.
Yeah, I sure hope so. And what was it like for you last year to finally, I don't know what took him so long, but finally get inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, better late than never. I have always been a big fan of country music and have made a lot of country records. And I hired a public relate PR guy, and he said, I'll get you in the Hall of Fame. He is Don Grubbs, and he's got a company called Absolute Publicity. And he went to work, and sure enough, that little son of a gun did it, you know, so... I got to give him a lot of credit. He pushed for it a long time.
You've been in Nashville a long time, Ray. How has the Nashville music scene changed since you arrived, almost before there was a music row?
Well, you know, it's the music business has sort of been in the dumps for a while because of the internet. Because the internet just kind of took over, and a lot of record companies don't even bother to release records anymore. Because there are no record stores, and the only place you can sell your product is through downloads on the internet. And you know, they really have, in my humble opinion, let it go downhill. But they don't pay enough royalties and a lot of things like that. But we'll see if we can't turn things around in the future. I'm thinking that we need to elect some senators and congressmen that'll take it to heart and take it to the next level, as in as much as promoting a better deal with downloads on the internet.
Yeah, those streaming services, I mean, that's out and out robbery.
Yeah, it is.
Ray, thank you so much. I've been a fan of your music for as long as I can remember, and it's great to have the opportunity to talk with you today.
Well, thank you. It's good to talk to you, Rich.